The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.
Hello and good morning. So another ministerial resignation from the government. Not surprised, really. I always thought Roisin was only in for the short haul. And Christy Moore, you're grimacing at that one. Good morning and you're very welcome.
Good morning, John.
And we've already established the Clonmel connection. I haven't actually met you before now, but I feel I know you. And take us back, because you were a bank official in Clonmel back in the early 60s and you got to know an uncle of mine and his wife.
I did indeed. Michael and Sheila Murray in Clonmel were my great friends down there. And Michael indeed was probably my first roadie. In that he took me around in his Austin Cambridge to matches and greyhound tracks and card schools. And as long as I kept singing, he kept putting the large bottles in front of me.
Is that right? You had the guitar in the boot. You brought it around
to
hurling matches and football matches. And you got a great taste of life in County Tipperary.
Yeah, Clonmel was a really great town to be in 1963.
They still claim you. We've had a few texts and an email saying, oh, he's a Clonmel man.
They're very welcome to me.
Yes, because you're claimed by a lot of people. And as I say, it's lovely to have you in, because what we're going to do over the next hour, and it's still open, by the way, for people to get in touch with us by text 51551. A few days ago, we asked listeners to get in touch with us about the songs that mean something special to them in your repertoire. And I have to say, as I said at the outset, a lovely mix. It's like the Christy Moore, it's the encyclopedia Christy Moore going over your career. And of course, the fans mean so much to you over such a long career, Christy.
Well, I think without listeners, singers are in a lonely place. You know, I've been singing all my life, and when people sit and listen to the songs, it puts the life into the song.
Mm-hmm. And actually, we're going to go straight now to a caller. Her name is Rosalie Dunn. Rosalie, good morning.
Good morning, John.
And you're in Garryvaux in East Cork.
In sunny East Cork, overlooking Ballycotton Bay this morning.
Lovely. Sounds idyllic. Say hello to Christy.
Hi, Christy.
Good morning.
How are you?
And I take it, Rosalie, you know the family.
Well, I grew up in the Curragh camp and went to secondary school in Newbridge and into the Holy Family. And some of Christy's sisters were at school with me. Sister Eilish was in my class for a while. Oh. And I also knew Anne and Terry slightly. She'd have been a bit younger. And my brothers actually were at school at the same time as Christy's younger brothers in Newbridge College. So I didn't actually know Christy or the family terribly well, but you know everybody in the town. And
you knew him before he was famous, in
I
other
did,
words.
Yeah.
Yes, and you thought well of him, I hope.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So presumably, given that you're now down in Garryvaux in East Cork, you want to hear a song that brings you back to Kildare.
Exactly. I'd love to hear, when I hear the title of the Curragh of Kildare, it just brings me back to happy childhood days there. You know, it was a great place to grow up. And I was there until from the mid late 50s until I got married I got married in 1976, but my father retired and moved to Newbridge in 1974. So, you know, I know the area very well, and it brings me back. And, you know, life turns full circle. One of my sons got married to a girl from just outside Newbridge just a year ago.
Good stock.
So, isn't that?
Yeah, and I think when you got in touch, you were saying about the Curragh camp, it was very much an enclosed society.
It was. It was like a self-contained town, really. You know, we had everything there. It was a great place, a lovely place to be a child, very safe. There was plenty of children to play with, and with great freedom, you know, but we had everything there, really. When you think back on it, we had a cinema, swimming pool, you know, everything in those days when you didn't have them anywhere else. We had our own hospital, and we even had an Eason's shop, which was the only one outside of Dublin. We used to even get the comic and the paper delivered, you know, the Bunty delivered.
That's posh indeed. And I presume you will sing that for us, Christy, but the Curragh of Kildare, just explain where you came across the song.
Well, I came across the song way back in the P.W. Joyce collection, which I borrowed out of the library in Newbridge when I was about 16. And I took it around to Donal Lunny, and we worked out the melody and we added a chorus. And it was written by the Scottish poet Robbie Burns.
All right.
Basically, it's a lament, a woman in Scotland lamenting the fact that her lover is a soldier in Ireland in the Curragh of Kildare.
Right. Did you know that, Rosalie?
I didn't.
You learned something.
I just remember the happy bits.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, for Rosalie Dunn and plenty of other people who were in touch with us about this particular song, here is Christy now and the Curragh of Kildare.
Thanks, Rosalie. Oh, the winter it is past, and the summer's come at last, and the birds they are singing in the trees, and their little hearts are glad, but mine is very sad, for my true love is far away from me. And it's the red I will repair to the Curra of Kildare, for it's there I'll find tidings of my dear. All you who are in love and cannot it remove, I pity and the pains that you endure. For experience lets me know that your hearts are full of woe, and a woe that no mortal can endure. And it's the red I will repair to the Curra of Kildare, for it's there I'll find tidings of my dear.
Oh, lovely, 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 Christy. And the Curra of Kildare, I know your brother Luke is a big fan of the cycling now at this stage. He has a song on his new album, but walking means a lot to you now at this stage. We're big on walking on the show.
Yeah, for the last maybe 20 years, I've been doing more walking than I did in the previous 40. But I do like to walk. Yeah, it's a great way to get out and to think and to talk and to look.
To clear the head as
well,
is it?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. In actual fact, next week I'll be walking on the Curra of Kildare with a friend of mine, with young Heavey from Clongowrie.
Just the two of you?
Just the two of us.
How long will you walk now? Would you walk like 5 or 10 miles?
I hope we're going to have a go at 10 anyway.
Right, so a loop walk then, is it?
A bit of a loop.
Yeah, and of course it's a flat walk, so it's not that difficult really.
It's very flat around Kildare.
It is. Mary O'Donoghue, good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Mary, where are you this morning?
I'm actually in Glengarriff here in West Cork.
And Mary, say hello to Christy.
Good morning, Christy. How are you?
Nice to talk to you, Mary.
You're sort of a keen fan of Christy Moore. I think it's best to describe you as that.
Yes, one could say that. Yes, I've seen Christy on a number of occasions in different venues.
15 times, I'm told.
No, I don't know. I haven't really counted. I've saw him in the stadium, in the concert hall, the Point, in Tralee, and Baker Street, the Opera House in Cork.
And you're originally from Glenbey in County Kerry.
I'm from Glenbey, yes.
And the song you're looking for Christy to sing has a Kerry connection.
It has, of course, yes. It's called Casey and the Kerry Sheepdogs.
All right, tell us a little bit about why it means so much to you, Mary.
Well, I'm actually based in Dublin, and this is back in the early 90s, I'd say, Christy. I was cycling out in Wicklow one day, and we rushed back to get to see Christy in the stadium, and he opened anyhow, and he had a few numbers, and then he started with this. I hadn't heard it before, but there were about 3 or 4 of us girls there. And once he started, it was just so hilarious. We just couldn't stop laughing. With the result, we missed a lot of it because we couldn't stop laughing to hear the next line. So we got a few, I think we upset some of the audience actually, because there were people in front of us and around us. We heard a few tut-tuts and we got a few strange faces now from people.
Right,
but
so
we just
listening.
Couldn't stop laughing. And I haven't actually heard it live since. I've heard it on.
So all these years later, Mary, you want to hear it properly?
I'd like to hear properly now from the man himself.
The man himself. And the origins of Casey, Christy, tell me.
Casey was written by Martin Egan, whom I encountered in the South Pole Inn in Aunascall during a fierce blizzard of snow. And we were there for a few days and nights, and Martin sang this song in the course of the blizzard, which he'd just written, the great song of the Ballad of Bishop Casey.
It's self-explanatory, I take it.
It is, yeah.
Okay. Well, especially for you, Mary. No giggling now. You're to listen properly now.
Yes, thank you very much, John. Thanks, Christy.
So do I give it the full monty, John?
Sure, why not?
Oh, the full monty, yes.
Nothing less.
anyway.
If it's drink you want and plenty of feeding and you'd like the bed as well, grab the wife, throw the kids in the Datsun, make for Inch and the Strand Hotel. If talk of turf drives you crazy and you can't face a bale of hay, make for Foley's, work the top shelf, talk pucks, pints and the GAA. Oh, the low road goes from Killorglen all the way to Ownascoll. When him and Casey came to guide us, he never used his brakes at all. A trail of sheepdogs littered Kerry from Killorglen to Macroom. Well, he might have been all soul salvation, but he also was the sheepdog's doom. Casey, Casey, you're the devil. When you get behind the wheel, 'twas a sad day for the Kerry sheepdogs when your firestones they did feel. And when the poor old Pope, he came to Ireland way back in that holy time, him and Casey and Father Cleary served the mass and poured the wine. Two jockey boys they'd ride for Ireland while preaching us morality. Sure, God loved them, they're only human. Annie Murphy might not agree. Casey, Casey, you're the devil. When you get behind the wheel, 'twas a sad day for the Kerry sheepdogs when your firestones they did feel. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. We get the point at this stage, and I hope Mary heard all the words at this stage. You were telling me, Christy, that you still pinch yourself about the career you've had in music, that you wonder, has it all happened to you?
Well, I suppose when I started out, say in 1966, I used to look at certain people doing gigs and marvelling at what it must be like. And I suppose in those days, just to get to sing two songs in The Embankment would have been my dream. And I never really aspired to anything beyond that. And then along the way, different things happened. I mean, I was so fortunate to be in Planxty in the early 70s, and that opened the whole thing up for me, you know. And different things happened along the way, like meeting Christy Hennessy and getting Don't Forget Your Shovel, which started another leg of the journey. Mm-hmm. So I mean, where it's ended up to me is quite amazing.
Yeah, and are you enjoying it as much as ever? Or in some ways, are you enjoying it more now at this stage?
I value it a lot more now. Like each time now, I prepare myself and Declan Sinn and prepare to go out, and I do wonder how many more of these nights are there going to be, which is something you don't think about when you're a younger man. But I really value it. And when I'm on tour now, the gig is the purpose of being away. Whereas in the old days, there was lots of other things surrounding the gig, you know.
But it's the gig now.
Now it's the gig.
Solely the gig. And because I've been looking at your website as well, and you regularly name the songs that you have played in a particular set and the set list, and your gigs go on for 2.5 hours. So it's probably because you're not doing the preliminaries and the afters that you're able to. Is that it?
Oh, definitely.
You're conscious of your mortality.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely, you know. And I would be I would spend the day now preparing for the evening's performance.
Mm. And you do then, you pick and choose your dates. You're in a happy position. You don't have to go at it every day of the month.
Very, very fortunate in that. We do about 60, 70 gigs a year, which is a civilised way. I mean, in 1968, I did 320 gigs.
Okay, so you're able to work it out. But the less you do, the more successful you have been. And how is the health, by the way?
Very good this day, thank you. You know, in good old Nick, for an old fella, doing grand.
Great, great. Now, Michael Kordoff, good morning.
Good morning, John.
And Michael, you're here in Dublin, but you grew up in Rossport in County Mayo.
I did indeed.
And you have a particular request of Christy. Tell us about it and why.
Well, I'd like to hear the Cliffs of Dunneen for my brother Andy, who's in Australia. And when we were growing up, there was a chap who's still alive and well, thankfully, called Michael Welch. And he used to sing that song whenever he had a few pints on board. And he used to sing it on the journeys to dances on an old Volkswagen minibus.
Now, where were the dances?
The dances were, well, they could be Glenamoy, Gisala, or Pam Court and Belmullet, which was one of the big ones. And about 10 of us, or there'd be more than 10 of us. Savannah, the bus was designed and probably licensed to carry about 10, but used to carry maybe about twice that much or more.
Right, that was the norm.
We'd all pack in, and you'd be boys and girls, one on top of the other. You always had to make sure that whoever was sitting on your knee was fairly light.
Yes.
It didn't matter about what the girl looked like, as long as she was light, because at the end of a 20-mile journey over a bumpy road, it could have very adverse effects on you.
I see. All right. I'm intrigued, Michael. So is Christy.
Yeah.
Anyway, during those long, arduous journeys on the bus, you used to sing the Cliffs of Duneen?
Well, Michael used to sing the Cliffs of Duneen, and that was before Christy Moore and Planksy recorded it, and nobody else knew the song, or I had never heard it. I don't know where Michael Welch picked it up, possibly in England somewhere. But the song, of course, has quite evocative lyrics and the melody, and even more so when it's sung by Christy.
And you want to dedicate it to your brother?
I'd like to dedicate it to my brother Andy Curduff in Seaford. And
where is Andy?
Andy's in Seaford, Australia, just outside Melbourne, and his good wife Connie also, we can't forget her.
Actually, I think Andy's on the line now from Melbourne. Andy, good morning.
Good morning, I am indeed.
How are you doing?
Listening to you loud and clear here in my kitchen in Seaford.
Wonderful.
Amazing technology.
Wonderful. Say hello to Brother Michael.
Holy God.
We pulled a fast one on him.
Yes. Say hello to Michael here in Wet
Dublin. How are you doing, Michael?
Very good, very good.
You weren't expecting this, were you?
I certainly wasn't. I thought I was pulling a fast one on you. That's why I never told you. I just told you to listen to the radio.
Andy, I don't think it's any exaggeration to say that you love Christy Moore.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Say hello to him.
How is it going there, Christy?
Sound, Andy. Lovely to talk to you.
Great to talk to you too.
I call Andy a Christy-aholic.
Christy-aholic. That's allowed.
There's no harm in that.
And how long have you been in Melbourne, Andy?
Since 1982.
Oh, right. Okay, so geez, 30.
I went to see Planksy in Ballina shortly before we immigrated, and Christy that night sang I Pity the Poor Immigrant, and I don't think my wife can listen to that song since.
Yeah,
I have to get her out of the house to listen to it.
I see. And the Cliffs of Duneen.
It's a chord, yeah, the Cliffs of Duneen, yeah. I have a slightly different memory of the Cliffs of Duneen, because my Uncle Dinny had a pub down in Rossport, and he had an 8-track player in the pub. I don't know if you remember what they were like.
Yeah.
He used to play those big 8-track, they were like VHS tapes. And he had Prosperous there, and that's where I first heard that version of the Cliffs of Duneen. So the two different stories for the Cliffs of Duneen.
And it's interesting, in a lot of the texts and emails we've received over the last few days, we've received hundreds, and we'll be touching on it later. A lot of people abroad,
yeah.
You have a special bond with them, Christy.
Well, definitely. It's very special when you're far from home and performing these songs. You realise that it means a different... The songs take on a different dimension, and the music takes on a different dimension when you're far from home.
Mm.
And the Cliffs of Duneen is a particular song that I can understand why people like to hear it when they're away.
Yeah, and it's all happening again and again.
Yeah.
Well, look, Michael and Andy, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
And here is Christy now, especially for the two of you and many others who requested the Cliffs of Duneen.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, lads. Thank you very much. You may travel far, far from your own native home, far away o'er the mountains, far away o'er the foam. But of all the fine places that I've ever seen, and there's none to compare with the Cliffs of Duneen. Take a view o'er the mountains, fine sights you'll see there. You'll see the high rocky mountains on the west coast of Clare, and the towns of Kilkee and Kilrush can be seen from the high rocky slopes of the cliffs of Dunneen. Fare thee well to Dunneen, fare thee well for a while. And to all the fine people I'm leaving behind, to the streams and the meadows where late I have been, and the high rocky slopes of the cliffs of Dunneen. A noble call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thanks to Michael and to Andy Corduff for getting in touch. We'll have lots more with Christy Moore. And by the way, it's still not too late to text in your song suggestions to 51551. And I'm talking to Christy Moore, and he will be playing plenty more songs between now and 10 o'clock. Christy, I'm just thinking, given your career and the concert halls you've been in and the gigs you've done, you probably know Ireland as well, if not better than anyone. So how do you feel about it? Because so much has happened over the last few years.
Well, how I feel about Ireland is I'm totally and utterly besotted and in love with the country. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. I'm so happy to be in Ireland at all times. So that's the main way I feel about Ireland, is I love it.
You're not in the Eamon Dunphy school of thought that says it's a kip?
Most definitely not. And I'd say if Eamon was to reflect upon that, he would withdraw that remark.
Yeah. You know. Oh, what is it then? What is it? Because, as I say, it's been a tough time. A lot of people, you know, say what's happened over the last few years is a disgrace, and the country, you know, losing our sovereignty, and every reason not to be proud of and patriotic about being Irish.
Well, I think that's all kind of very well covered. I mean, the reason we love it, or I love it so much, is I suppose just everything about me is Irish, and I feel I love the landscape, I love the mountains, I love the people, I love the music, I love the football in Ireland, I love the language, I love the way we talk English, you know, the very way we use the language, the literature, the poetry. I mean, geez, it's a great country.
Yeah, so you wake up every day, do you, with a spring in your step?
Well, the first thing I do when I wake up every day is I give thanks that I've woken up.
Okay, right, I'm at the start of the day. Yeah, you're awake and you're alive.
Yeah.
And you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
And you were saying earlier that you appreciate things a bit more now. So is that in itself the fact that every day you wake up and you appreciate being alive and having the good health to do what you do?
Well again, when you look around you, I mean, today there are a lot of people listening in to your programme this morning who are suffering and who are in pain and who are in very, very difficult circumstances, you know, and our hearts go out to those people. But we have to give thanks for life itself and for the health and the, you know, to be able to keep going.
Yeah, and to quote a song that you often play, After the Deluge by Jackson Browne, let the music keep the spirits high.
Yeah.
And that brings us on to our next request. Hi, John and Christy, a request from Stockport in the UK. Please play Jocks or Goes to Stuttgart for our boss, Mike Broderick, native of Roscommon, now working near Manchester. We are all being made redundant tomorrow and just want to say thanks to Mike on a happy note. Looking forward to your concert in Manchester in November. Up Donegal. That's from Catherine Mannering and all the girls and accounts at Mitty, I think it is, in Stockport. Jocks or Goes to Stuttgart, never heard of it.
Do you want me to?
Ah, sure, why not?
Throw the ball in.
Throw the ball in, off we go.
It was in the year of 88 in the lovely month of June, when the gadflies were swarming, the dogs howling at the moon. With rosary beads and sandwiches for Stuttgart we began. Jockstra packed his German phrase book and jump leads for the van. Some of the lads had never been away from home before. It was the first time Whacker put his foot outside of Inchicore. And before we left for Europe, we knew we'd need a plan. So we all agreed that Chuckser was the man to drive the van. In Germany, the Autobahn, 'twas like the long mile road. There was every make a car and van, all carrying the full load. For transits and hiaces and a Bedford from Tralee, with the engines overheating from long haul and duty free. There was fans from Ballyfermot Ballybuck and Ballymun, on the journey of a lifetime, and the crack was 91. Juxer met a German's daughter on the banks of the River Rhine, and he told her she'd be welcome in Ballyfermot at any time. Next morning, none of the experts gave us the slightest chance. They said the English team would lead us on a merry dance. Oh, with their Union Jacks, them English fans, for victory they were set, until Ray Houghton got the ball and stuck it in the net. What happened next is history, brought tears to many eyes. That day will be the highlight of many people's lives. Juxer climbed right over the top, and the last time he was seen, arm in arm with Jack Charlton, singing revenge for Skibbereen. Doodle-dal-dal-dee-dal-dee-o-dum-al-dee-dum-dum-dum. Up Stockport County, that's what I say.
Indeed, indeed. Thanks very much, Christy. I'm sure you've cheered many people up, and good luck to those people who were in touch with us from Stockport indeed, and I hope you all get sorted. That's sad news about you being laid off tomorrow. We were just talking during the break actually about the how special the All-Ireland was last Sunday. Wasn't there something special? I was looking even at the viewership figures, Mayo and Donegal. It's got something to do, I think, with the two counties and their history and the fact that they haven't won many All-Irelands, but there was some special buzz about it, wasn't there, Christy?
Well, they are two counties traditionally have suffered from immigration. I mean, the Mayo and Donegal diaspora all around the world is enormous. And they've also, they've been very colourful followers over the years, the Mayo fans and the Donegal fans. And there were so many different things went to make up the special day. I mean, there's a great vibe around the city last Sunday morning. You know, the colours are great, very vibrant colours and great crack.
No segregation required.
No, none whatsoever.
That's a lovely part of it, isn't it?
It's great, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the afters, the befores and the afters. And I believe the celebrations, in fact, Sheila, my colleague, was telling me that Sam made its way up to Gweedore last night. So,
yeah,
big county, a lot of places to go. On the subject of people living abroad, Jerry Malumbi, good morning.
Good morning, John. Hi, Christy.
Good morning, Jerry.
And where are you, Jerry?
I'm actually not too far from Stockport. I'm in Nottingham. But I lived for many years in London, and I've got great memories of going to the Dominion Theatre and hearing Christy, gosh, in the 80s and 90s. It was a great chance for us to go somewhere safe and have some humour and great Irish ballads. And what's really interesting about Christy's songs, the second generation Irish in Britain love his songs as well.
Yeah. It's across the generations now. Yeah. And I presume, Jerry, that was at a time when being Irish in Britain wasn't easy.
Yes, I mean, Christy knows about this. It wasn't a difficult time. We were in the height of the Troubles and the campaigns for the Birmingham Six and the Guildford Four. But going into the Dominion was a kind of an oasis where we kind of really let our hair down. I have great memories of Christy. The theatre would be packed and people would be shouting, oh, sing Ride On or sing Listen Van. And Christy had a great knack of sort of saying, look, lads, I'm paraphrasing now, we're here for 2.5 hours. I'll try and get through all your requests.
Yes.
A bit of cuteness now, and we'll get there. And he could command 2,000 people. Our great memories, Christy, and thanks for them.
Thank you very much indeed.
Yeah. And did you know a whole lot about Christy before you went to those gigs, Jerry?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, we kind of... Christy's been around for as long as I've been around. yeah, well, before I went to the UK. And but his tours of Britain were great for the Irish in Britain. They really affirmed us. And I want to make the opportunity to remind Christy that I met him once. In 1993, Christy, you came over and you very kindly opened up a house for homeless people in Cricklewood.
Okay, I remember.
Yeah, called Haynes House.
Yeah.
And I remember on that day you said, good things are going to happen in this place. And I can tell you, Christy, 20 years on, good things are still happening there. And you coming to do that was a great boost for the Irish in London.
I remember the day well, and it was really lovely to be part of that day. There was a lovely atmosphere that day about. I remember
it
well.
It was Vince Power arranged it, and it was great. And actually, we got a couple of days' notice you were coming, Christy, because I think if word got out that you were coming to Cricklewood, they'd have to close down the Broadway.
Yes. And Jerry, what particular song would you like Christy to sing?
Well, following on from that, how about Don't Forget Your Shovel, Christy, as a tribute to the men who built Britain, yeah?
Right.
A pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you.
Jerry, thank you for sharing your experiences with us, and good luck and take care of yourself.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Christy.
And here is Christy now with Your first big hit, actually, wasn't
A Christy Hennessy song. I heard him sing it, and straight afterwards, I asked him for the lend of it. And I recorded it about 1983 or 84 and didn't pay much attention to it. It was kind of like a filler on the album. And the bold Ronan Collins got to hear it in here. And at the time, he was doing an early morning show. And he lashed it out every morning for about 6 weeks.
And am I right in saying there were a few detractors who felt it was a little bit beneath Christy Moore to have a song of this sort?
Well, you'd always get that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, begrudgery.
And don't forget your shovel if you want to go to work. No, don't forget your shovel if you want to go to work. Oh, don't forget your shovel if you want to go to work. Or you'll end up where you came from like the rest of us. Yeah, you'll be digging a hole. You'll be going, diddly yodel all the doodle dump a doodle do. Oh, don't forget your shoes and socks and shirt and tie and all. No, don't forget your shoes and socks and shirt and tie and all. Oh, don't forget your shoes and socks and shirt and tie and all. Mr. Murphy's a red, you make a claim if you take a fall. I went diddly doodle at the doodle dump a doodle dump a doodle deedle dal the do. Oh, we want to go to heaven, but we're always digging holes. Oh, we want to go to heaven, but we're always digging holes. Big holes, John, yeah. Oh, we want to go to heaven, but we're always digging holes. Oh, there's one thing you can say, we know where we are going. We're going to go diddle doodle dal the deedle dump a doodle diddle yodle dal the doodle dump a doodle dal the deedle do. I still miss Christy Hennessy. What a beautiful man he was.
Yeah, the late, great Christy Hennessy, and don't forget your shovel. What is it you miss most about him?
His nature. He was just... You know, I think Christy's nature was such that people actually thought it was an act, because he was so gentle and so kind and so giving. People thought, this can't be real, you know. But it was.
Yeah.
It's the way he was, you know.
What you saw is what you got.
Very special man.
Yeah, and a special song for your career. Lovely song as well. Lovely,
lovely, lovely lilt to it.
You'd never grow tired of hearing it. Patricia Tinsley, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you both.
And Patricia, tell us what particular song you'd like to hear.
I'd love to hear Christy singing the Honda 50 song.
Right.
What? Because, I had a Honda 50 in the late 70s.
Right.
And I lived in Dublin at the time, but I'm originally from Newbridge, County Kildare, and I used to go to work on my Honda 50 every day. And it was during the petrol crisis, and I was privileged to be allowed to buy petrol. So I used to think I was very clever chewing up for petrol, because I could get petrol. And I used to come home at the weekends then down the dual carriageway and put newspaper inside my Peter Storm jacket to keep the wind off me.
I see. It's lovely when picture.
Yes, it was great fun. And when I hear Christy singing, it brings back great memories.
Yeah, because that has become, that has taken on a sort of life of its own, hasn't it, that song, the Honda 50 song,
as
Patricia calls it.
It's a really sweet song, you know. It just encapsulates time. And a lot of people who had Honda 50s...
Did you have one yourself?
I never did, no, yeah. But Honda 50 riders were characters, are characters in their own right, yeah. You know. And by the way, I recognise the name, and I grew up with Tinsleys, and I have great memories of the Tinsley family, and I send my best wishes to everybody down below in Drogheda.
Thank you, Christy.
The Tinsleys of Drogheda. And here it is now, especially for you, Patricia.
Thank you very much.
And I should say it has been requested by quite a few people. Here's Christy and his Honda 50.
Written by Tom Chuhi from Kyle Dove. Now my little Honda 50, she's rapid and she's nifty. She'll do 150 on a windy day. My little Honda 50, hit the night throw and she'll shift me. She'll get me away from the guard every day. Oh, well, I got her in the buy and sell back in 92. A travelling man in a caravan says, this is the bike for you. He was looking for 100 and I gave him 32. I took her for a spin out the Kinnegad Road and be God, she feckin' flew. Oh, my little Honda 50, she's rapid and she's nifty. She'll do 150 on a windy day. My little Honda 50, hit the night throw and she'll shift me. She'll get me away from the squad car every day. Well, I drove her into Newbridge, looking for a couple of parts. Alloy wheels and a sat-nav and a new push-button start. I was heading out to Robertstown for the bingo and the beer. Coming down the hill of Allen, she hit the ton in second gear. I was riding across the Curra, nice and slow. The guards pulled in behind me, Sergeant Kelly, don't you know? I said, oh, yes. I had to avoid that four-letter word. Okay. I said, what am I going to say here?
Fair news, you just kept me in a job, Christy. Well done. Do you want to finish it or we leave
sure.
it there?
She's grand. She's grand. She's after Stalin there.
She's after Stalin, yeah. No petrol in the tank. Although plenty of petrol in the tank. I'm just saying, I always apologise to musicians in advance and singers who come in here at this ungodly hour. Are you used to singing this early in the morning, Christy?
No, but I prepare for it. You know, I got up at 2:30 this morning.
fair dues. Yeah, because apparently there was music to be heard. Christy could be heard singing in the RT car park before you came in here this morning. And we were wondering what it was. Anyway, just on a separate matter for the moment, all this week we're giving more couples the chance to rediscover the romance. We've teamed up with Discover Ireland. They're offering one lucky couple the chance to win a fantastic autumn breakaway to spend some quality time together, try some new activities and put the fun back into their relationships. This is all to mark the new Discover Ireland Autumn Special Offers brochure, which will be available in national newspapers and Discover Ireland centres, or from discoverireland.ie from this weekend. Today, our winning couple will enjoy a two-night stay in the four-star award-winning Harvey's Point Hotel. Do you know it, Christy, the Harvey's Point Hotel?
Yeah, it's lovely.
Lovely spot. It's just outside Donegal town. They'll also enjoy a walking tour amongst the highlands and headlands of Donegal with your own personal guided tour of the majestic Slieve League sea cliffs. Sure, we might throw in Sam as well. All you need to do to win is to figure out the movie that this romantic scene comes from. Have a listen.
I just wondered if by any chance I mean, obviously not, because I am just some kid who's only slept with 9 people, but I just wondered I really feel, in short, to recap in a slightly clearer version, in the words of David Cassidy, in fact, while he was still with the Partridge family, I think I love you. Love is
all around. Okay, text your name, address and answer to 51551 with the name of that movie and we'll pick the winner at random and announce it at the end of today's show, and terms and conditions as always apply. Thanks to discoverireland.ie and Fáilte Ireland for the prize. Back with more Christy Moore Gold in a moment.
The John Murray Show. Podcast today's show at rte.ie/John Murray.
Imelda Reynolds, good morning.
Morning, John and Christy. How are
you?
Good
morning, Imelda.
And where are you, Imelda?
I'm in Shankill in Dublin.
Right, just down the road. And yeah. What particular song is it you would like Christy to sing?
Well, I would love Christy to sing Nancy Spain for my sister, Liz Plunkett, who passed away on the 1st of February this year.
And sorry to hear that.
She was an absolutely huge Christy Moore fan. I remember we travelled all over the place listening to him. I remember one place in particular, the Deer Hunter, I think it was called, in Lucan. And we went out there to hear him sing, and the barman introduced us to these black Russians, not men now, cocktails. And God, anyway, the rest is history that night, wild night. We went everywhere to listen to him, but she moved to Spain about 10 years ago and opened a pub there, Tom's Irish Bar, with her husband, and the sessions in it, you know, and she'd get up every night, there'd be a big session on, and she'd sing Nancy Spain, whether she knew the words or not, she'd sing it, and that would, but I'm going over on Wednesday to scatter her ashes off the ocean there at Los Beliches, and I'd be just thinking of the words, standing by the ocean, you know, wondering where you are, if you'll return again. So we'll be singing it, we'll be playing it on the boat anyway.
And you had a lovely, Imelda, you had a lovely memorial service for your sister Liz as well.
We did, in the Unitarian Church in Stephen's Green there. There were so many people from Ireland who go into that pub and they wanted to remember her someplace. So my daughter Kelly Marie, she's a great singer, she sang anyway at it. But we decided at the end that no way could she sing Nancy Spain, that we had to play it, Christy Moore singing it in the Unitarian Church. So we did it, and she would have been proud. She would have loved it, yeah. We felt we laid her to rest with that song, you know. So, anyway, she loved you, Christy. Absolutely loved you.
Well, thanks for sharing that. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And I'd like to sing the song now in Liz's memory. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ned.
Of all the stars that ever shone, not one does twinkle like your pale blue eyes. Like golden corn at harvest time, your hair sailing in my boat, the wind gently blows and fills my sail. Your sweet scented breath is everywhere, and daylight peeping through the curtains of the passing nighttime is your smile. And the sun in the sky is like your laugh. Come back to me, my Nancy, and linger for just a little while. Since you left these shores, I've known no peace nor joy. No matter where I wander, I'm still haunted by your name. The portrait of your beauty stays the same. Standing by the ocean, wondering where you've gone, if you'll return again. Oh, where is the ring I gave to Nancy Spain? Where is the ring I gave to Nancy Spain?
That's lovely, Christy. Nancy Spain. Well, that song itself, the origins, again, there's all sorts of speculation. I was reading a piece the other day about who Nancy Spain was, but the song itself, where did you get it? Where did you pick it up?
I met Barney Rush from Sally Noggin in Jersey, in the Channel Islands, in 1968. I went out there to play, and he sang that song that night, and straight away afterwards I asked him for the song and brought it back and recorded it back home about 10 years later. And Nancy Spain was actually a Guardian journalist. She was a woman who wrote for the Guardian newspaper, and he liked the name. So
He plucked the name from a newspaper headline.
Yeah, and wrote the song he wanted to write about in Nancy Spain.
Oh, what a beautiful song. Yeah. What a beautiful, beautiful song. And it was also requested by Claire O'Donovan, who lives in Cranford in New Jersey. And the reason is, she says, because Christy doesn't get to the US very often, I believe, because he doesn't like to fly.
No, I had enough flying done by 1998. And now anywhere I can reach by road and boat, I'll play.
Does that rule out trips? Obviously it does, to places like Down Under and America at this stage.
Well, I was talking to a man in Skibbereen last year, and he was actually going to Hobart in Tasmania, and he was going by boat and train. So that kind of caught my attention.
Okay.
It was going to take him 6 weeks. So I thought that would be a...
So we wouldn't rule it out then at this stage?
Well, you know, it's only 5 days from Southampton to New York.
So for your fans who are listening probably down under and in the US, don't rule it out.
You'd never know.
Yeah, there you are. Interesting, we'll see what happens. Paul Dignan, good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. And I hope, like you, like us, you're enjoying listening to... Christy's back catalogue and his current catalogue, and it's certainly a very special day on this show. It's wonderful to have Christy here, and you have lovely, warm recollections of meeting.
Indeed I do. Good morning, Christy. How are you?
Lovely to hear you. I'm grand, thanks.
Yeah. I just sent a note in to the programme there. Our son, Stephen, who's a Special Olympics athlete, is a mad Christy Moore fan, the same as myself. And I was recalling the story. We had the joy to meet Christy briefly at the gig in the Grand Canal Theatre last January.
Yeah,
and Christy was lovely with Stephen. We got a photograph, and he sent him a little note after the programme. And he played Liz Dunvarna for him and dedicated to him. And after the show, he was good enough to send us a copy of the dedication. And of course, since then, Stephen has the thing worn out on his CD player. He plays it virtually every night, and he loves it. And it's a great souvenir to have.
Oh, indeed, indeed, yes.
So it's been a wonderful. It was a wonderful experience, and I've spent the last 40 minutes on the website trying to book tickets for next January for
yes.
the same shows again. So just managed to secure them, so I'm delighted.
Well, I should remind our listeners at this stage that tickets for Christie's gig go on sale this morning.
That's
they're,
right.
For the, they're for the Vicar Street gigs on December 11th, 12th, 19th and 20th and in the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre, one of the gigs that you've booked, Paul, January 15th. And 16. And the request, obviously, Christy, is for Liz D'Inverna. Paul, thank you for joining us. And I should also say that Sean Conroy, who was all of 80 years old, emailed us to say he lives in Maynooth and he listens to the show every morning on the car radio on the way to school. I would like to ask Christy to play Liz D'Inverna. So for Sean and Steve and Christy, well, you can't say no, can you?
I can still remember meeting Stephen last year. And I can remember his smile and the great, beautiful energy there was off him. So it's lovely to sing it for you, Stephen. I'll give you a few verses of it. Oh, it's too high for this hour of the morning. I'll change the key. Oh, list Inverna. List Inverna. How's it going there? Everybody from Cork, New York, Dundalk, Gorta, Hawke and Lennamaddy. Here we are in the County Clare. It's a long, long way from here to there. There's the Burren and the Cliffs of Moher. There's the Tulla and the Kilfenor. There's Michael Russell and Dr. Bill and Willie Clancy and Noel Hill. And there's flutes and fiddles everywhere. If it's music you want, I tell you, up the banner. Oh, List Inverna. Don't know what key I'm in. List Inverna. Everybody needs a break. Climb a mountain or jump in a lake. Some head off to exotic places and others go to the Galway races. Matty goes to the south of France and Jim to the dogs and Peter to the dance. A cousin of mine goes pothole and a cousin of hers, she's stone mad about poor old Joe Dolan. Hey, Joe. Oh, the summer comes around each year and we go there and they come here and some jet off to Frahiliana, but I like to go down to List Inverna. List Inverna. Well, I keep going. Oh, the multitudes, they flocked in throngs to hear the music and the songs on motorbikes and high-ace vans with bottles, barrels, flagons, cans. There's mighty crack and loads of frolics. There's pioneers and alcoholics. There's plaque and spook and the FCA and free Nicky Kelly and the IRA and hairy chests and milk-white thighs and Mickey Dodgers in disguise and McGraths, O'Briens, Pippins, Coxes, massage parlours and horse boxes and RTE are making tapes and taking breaks and throwing shapes and Aurons and Bowrons and Nomadons and hairy freaks and Arab sheiks and Hindu Sikhs and Jesus freaks and this is heaven and this is hell and who cares, who can tell, and anyone for the last few chalk ices there now before we go. Ooh, List Inverna. Okay.
That's great. On the subject, Christy, sorry to interrupt you, on the subject of RTE and taking breaks, we'll take a break.
Nice one, John.
Paula Moriarty Stork, good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning,
Christy.
Morning, Paula.
Where are you, Paula?
I'm in Maryland.
In the US of A?
I'm in the US, yeah.
And it must be an ungodly hour.
It is. I said, no, I'm up at 4 in the morning. Normally I'm going to bed when my brothers are here.
Oh, I see. Yeah. That explains it. And we're a little bit tight for time, Paula, but
yep.
Name the song that you would like Christy to sing and why.
I'd love for him to sing Voyage. Christy represents, Ireland for me here in the US, and I'd love to listen to his songs. And the song reminds me basically of my own voyage across to the US 20 years ago. And that's brought me to my husband, Tim, here, who's sitting here beside me with his Cork T-shirt on.
Good man, Tim.
And We bought a boat a year ago, which is red and white, so we named it the Inchidani after my favourite place in West Cork. And we like to listen to Christy on the Inchidani as you sail around the Chesapeake Bay.
And quickly, Paula, am I right in saying that your father used to tell you that he sold Christy Moore his first guitar?
Well, that's what I hear, but he's not around to verify. Unfortunately, my father passed away in 1999, but that's what I hear.
All right. And what was his name?
Only Christy could verify that fact.
Woolworths.
His name was John Moriarty.
John Moriarty. Woolworths, no. Yeah. You can't remember.
He can't remember where he bought his first guitar. Well, we can leave that so to the family.
No, no. Quite possibly I did, you know, but we won't. I can't pin it down now at the moment.
Right.
Maybe not your first, maybe your second guitar.
Maybe so.
Well, listen, Paula, thank you very much for joining us and getting up so early and hi to Tim with his Cork T-shirt.
Can I just send the request out to my parents? It's their 57th wedding anniversary today.
Great. That's to your mother, your mum, Pauline.
Thanks a million.
Okay,
I
look.
And thanks so much.
This was the most requested song.
Oh.
And by the way, our tech system has crashed because there have been hundreds and hundreds of requests for Christy Moore songs. The Voyage... Johnny Doon song.
Okay, thank you very much everybody for ringing in and the requests, and I'd like to sing this for my sister Eilish, who is in hospital, and for my sister-in-law Pat Isaacson, who's in hospital in Drogheda, and for Nicky Kelly, who's recuperating. I am a sailor and you're my first mate. We signed on together, we coupled our fate. Hauled up our anchor, determined not to fail. For the heart's treasure, together we set sail. With no maps to guide us, we steered our own course. We rode out the storms when the winds were gale force, sat out the doldrums and patience and hope. Working together, we learned how to cope. Life is an ocean and love is a boat. In troubled waters, it keeps us afloat. When we started the voyage, there was just me and you. Now gathered round us, we have our own crew. And together we're sailing the ship. We built it with care to last the whole trip. Our true destination is not marked on any chart. We're navigating for the shores of the heart. We'll sing it now. Life is an ocean and love is a boat. In troubled water, it keeps us afloat. When we started the voyage, there was just me and you. Now gathered round us, we have our own crew. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Christy. And as I say, that was the most requested song this morning. And just to give you some of those who requested it, Joyce Mangan, Sean in Tallinn, Niamh Moriarty too. It means an awful lot to them. So as I say, the tech system crashed because there were so many requests. I just have to say that the winner of the Discover Ireland Prize that weekend in Harvey's Point of Donegal was Kay McGovern from Monaster Boyce in County Louth. She correctly answered the movie Four Weddings and a Funeral. Christy, it's been a pleasure and a privilege to have you in this morning. May you enjoy continued good health and may you continue to inspire and to make people happy. And it's just been great.
Thanks very much, Sean.
So, I'm going to leave it there. Nicky Dempsey was on sound. Denise Davies was the broadcasting coordinator. And Alan Torney produced. We're back tomorrow morning at 9 till then.
john@rte.ie.